And also recording.
Yeah, it's recording.
And is the audio on?
Yeah, I can. I'm recording everything, but this we just don't have it.
Can we start? Vice Chief of the FSIN, and then finally Eleanor Central, who is a lawyer, and friend of John Walker. With that, and then following the statements and remarks, we'll have some meetings. With that, I'd like to ask John Walker to speak.
So, first of all, I just want to thank Nina and all of our grandmothers and grandfathers for helping us through this ordeal. So, on behalf of our family, I also wanted to thank all the people and organizations that have supported our family and Dawn throughout this long ordeal, which I know isn't over, but is just beginning in a lot of ways. But for today, you know, we wanted to tell everyone, all of Dawn's supporters, how thankful we are that she's now back in our homelands and hopefully will be home with us soon and reunited with her precious son, my nephew. You know, there's so many people that have gone out of their way to help Dawn and to make this day possible. And if it wasn't for the countless organizations, you know, leaders and people who have helped out, Dawn would be just another Indigenous woman failed by the justice system and sitting in a U.S. jail. So, you know, while I'm extremely grateful for today, my heart also goes out to the other families who have sisters and aunts and mothers and daughters who should be getting the help they deserve as well, rather than being punished for doing their best to survive, you know, the violence and trauma that is really targeted towards, you know, our Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people. So I have a long list of people to thank, so bear with me. We're just so grateful, and I can't thank everyone enough. But you know, first and foremost, I want to thank the FSIN leadership and staff here today for all their support for standing with Dawn. I want to thank Mary Culbertson and Eleanor Sunchild for always being there for Dawn. I want to thank I Don't Know More, particularly Alex Wilson and Sheila McLean. I want to thank Shkwayawakewichwatochik, particularly Darlene Okamesam Sikat, and also Susan Gingell. And I want to thank legal scholar Elizabeth Sheehy, who's written extensively on how the criminal justice system mistreats women survivors of domestic abuse, and who is also standing with Dawn and offering direct support. I also want to thank Matthew Behrens from Women Who Choose Life. Matthew advocates on behalf of women who have chosen life over continuing to be victims of violence and then who are criminalized for it. And I also want to thank our entire Chief and Council of Okanis, Chief Richard Stonechild, and our head people, and the FHQ, File House Kwikao leadership and citizens. And finally, I also want to thank Erica Bowden for all her work, and for my friend Anita Large, who has helped so much. And last, but definitely not least, I want to acknowledge all our friends and family and other people who have sent messages of support, shared their stories, and signed Dawn's petition and gave money to her GoFundMe. We are just so grateful for all of the support. it's all made a huge difference. You know, and I just want to end with, you know, there's this well-known saying that the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. And I know there's a lot of good people out there. And I just, you know, I ask you to, you know, to do something, to step up and stand with Dawn, because we need your support. And it's not just for Dawn, it's for all the other, you know, women and children that are being further victimized by systems that really are not working to protect women and children. And I wanted to say one other thing about my big sister, Dawn. I just wanted to say, she's always been someone who's done the impossible. We didn't grow up with a lot on the reserve. We suffered from the same intergenerational trauma that a lot of First Nations families have also suffered and, you know, are dealing with, you know, and there's been a lot of limits that have always been placed on us as First Nations people, and especially as First Nations girls and women, you know, and Dawn really, you know, she never let anyone limit her, you know, like she was this young woman in her 20s, you know, from Okemos, who decided to go all by herself to New York City and do stand-up comedy. You know, like that's the kinds of things that she does. You know, she decided to write plays and books while being, you know, while having a full-time job. You know, like she's always done the impossible. She's always gone beyond, you know, what most of us would consider normal limits. And so in a way, you know, it's almost like I feel like she's leading us down beyond the limits again of the justice system and, you know, the way that our society limits women and normalizes violence. You know, I feel like she's pushing us beyond that as well. And, you know, I've always said this too, that her name suits her so well. You know, she is the Dawn, you know, and I think that she's become like a hopeful person for a lot of people that have gone through or going through what she's been through. And I'm hoping that, you know, that if any good can come out of this awful situation, that's what will come out of it. Mm. Thanks. Thank
okay.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Darlene Rosenfeld. I am the co-chair of Exploit Women Walking Together. It's an ad hoc concerned citizens group in Saskatoon for the last 17 years. And we primarily does work for awareness, supports, or remembrance of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. We have no office, no government funding. This is strictly volunteer. And throughout the years, we have worked with so many families that have had to endure their experience either alone or with some amount of policing and search involved, or we have very big circles of people around the city and around the country that are always at an extension of what we do. I'm going to give an example of the kind of people that have been helping us throughout the years, especially the beginning. We've had Amnesty International Group 33. We've had Sask Human Rights Commission. They've actually held the first historic event, December 10th, International Human Rights Day. We had the Public Service Alliance of Canada, who still contacts us, donates to us. We have the Saskatchewan Aboriginal Women's Circle Corporation. University of Saskatchewan Ariel Salmons Chair on Human Rights, Friendship Center, just to name a few. And this is throughout the years. And say that missing and murdered Indigenous women doesn't always entail the narrative of they're found deceased and may have been murdered. What's been disturbing for me and as activists on missing women and missing persons is that the narrative out there is that people expected Dawn and her child to be found deceased and murdered. And that's really disturbing. I'm just absolutely thrilled and glad and relieved that she is alive and her boy is alive. And I think that's a really scary narrative for everyone to have, not just non-Indigenous, but our own people. There really needs to be an understanding of the kind of different things that happen in missing person. It's not always foul. It could be an accident. They could have ran away. Or it's human trafficking. You have to keep your mind open when that person's missing. And since day one, July 25th, when the first press conference happened, with Dawn gone missing, we are on it. We're on our way to go see the Pope, me, my husband, and two grandchildren. But going all the way there, all I kept thinking of what could have happened. So since day one, Iskwewik has been a part of this process. It changed when she was located, and now it's a different type of advocacy. This is about the reasons why she had to flee. It's about domestic violence, interpersonal violence. I'm hoping it's not more than that. And I think people know what I'm talking about. There's child protection services that are trying to do their job, but are they really trying to do their jobs? A little child obviously is in danger. This little child needs protection. And we have a mother with all of these skills, all of this to give up, her home, her work, this beautiful building she helped plan and have this Indian government, you know, have a great space to work in. It's not right that we've had to, you know, acknowledge all the hard work we've been doing in Saskatoon to know that the people that we were relying on for safety have failed. And it's another hard knock for SPS, RCMP. But unfortunately, this is their jobs and they're not keeping our people safe. And what are we to do? What are we to do? It's way with, you know, we do walks, we help missing persons, we do research, we sit on advisories, we help with commemoration. We're doing so much work all the time. In this case, we're helping petition the GoFundMe, No More Silence, with Audrey Huntley. We've written to Deb Haaland's office in the United States. We've done all the letter writing along with the family. You know, this stuff has to really be pushed out there as much as we can because lives are at stake. You know, Dawn is alive, little boy's alive. What's going to be happening in Saskatoon in the next coming months and maybe years is this relationship with Indigenous people, Indigenous women. For at least a month, I've been feeling like I don't even want to go to the police station and ask that. I don't feel safe. I'm scared. I'm scared for a lot of our people. Where do they go? Since we've been doing the rallies, there's been an increase, such a big increase of people needing support. Someone abducted my 10-year-old in my backyard. This was on Sunday in Regina. They're writing to someone in Saskatoon, help us. A young man's looking for his sister. She's been missing a month. And he said that the police haven't even put out a missing persons piece. You know, like, I don't get that. I don't, and you know, he's just did an interview with Star Phoenix. That's his Amber Alert. Like it's, we're relying right now on media. We really thank you so much for doing as much balanced reporting on this with Dawn and with the family. And I just want to thank everyone, especially the FSIN, you know, Idle No More, other agencies that will be coming forward in the next month or so. We're going to be doing information forums on domestic violence. There's so much work to be done, and this is the time. This is the calls for action, 5.1 to 5.25. And that's the area of justice. And this is for the 231 recommendations to the National Inquiry Final Report, Rekindle Power in Place. So with that, I'm hoping that the general public will keep, you know, a positive look and open their minds and their hearts to the big picture here of what's happening to our people. Thank you. I'd like to thank that. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming here today, because all of this is part of Dawn's story. Thank you for Kathy and learning your words with me and receiving the most strong Kathy that gives all of us strength and continued support. And to Father Brandon and your son child and all our friends and family. And yes, I'm a Treaty Commissioner of Saskatchewan, but I'm also an Indigenous woman. I grew up in seeing a lot of violence too. I remember being about 10 years old and one of the guys from our First Nation waking me up to say, get up, you're moving. And my mom had to run away more than once. We've all not been listened to as women, as survivors of domestic violence. People will say, I can't imagine you with a black eye. You said, imagine being 8 months pregnant with broken fingers and a black eye and sweet kids in the car and running away in the middle of the night, phoning from a gas station because I had nowhere to go. I wanted to die, and I just kept driving back to my First Nation. And the reality is, when women are not listened to, and when survivors of domestic violence are not listened to, you sometimes don't feel you have any choice. I have to learn a lot as a young person, being in violent relationships, that there was no help. One can get help. And sometimes police sure didn't listen. And we continue to see that today. One of the first things I thought was, I didn't protect her enough. I thought we'd find them dead. We prayed we'd find them alive. And those prayers were answered. And we had lots of people praying. How many women have we seen die from domestic violence? Because the systems were built by men. Colonial systems were built on colonization, and though it wanted to protect, sure wasn't built for Indigenous people. It wasn't built for women. And if we look back in history, none of these systems were built by women. So that's where we start changing things and building our systems for our women. And as you'll see here, this is all women sitting here. People will send me screenshots of things people post. And for you men out there, you have no room to talk. Not a single one of you should be condemning Dawn or any woman who says they didn't get help, because these systems were built for you, not us. And we have to combat these systems every single day In today's day and age, we have voices. We have to stand together because sometimes all we have is each other. That's the only way we're going to survive. When our ancestors entered into treaties, it wasn't for our women to be continuously abused and not believed. And we see that every single day. I see it every single day. Sometimes I'm the only woman in a room full of men. And there's many times where Dawn has been the only woman in a room full of men. We need to stand with our women. We need to put these things in place. We need to help all our people who are struggling, and they have no voice to do that. So we'll create that voice. We'll be those people to listen to. How many people here have been getting emails and inboxes in their social media from women saying, this is what I went through. This is what I went through. This is what happened to my child. This is what happened to our family member. Because they see everything that Dawn went through as being part of their story too. And when Dawn comes home and she is able to talk to you herself, she's going to tell her story. So anyone who wants to condemn and have an opinion, you can put your condemnation and your opinions aside because this is not your story. Until you walk a mile in the shoes of a woman who was helped to protect their children or themselves, you have no room to talk.
Well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to acknowledge our Creator, and of course, ladies, some powerful words were said already this morning. I do have a prepared statement, regrets from Chief Bobby Cameron today. And of course, regrets from Chief Stonechild. I know they wanted to be here, but I think we have enough to get our message across today. To the staff here, thank you for being here. It's important that you're here, and I acknowledge you as well, and to the media. The FSIN is here today to stand in solidarity with not only Dawn, but to any other vulnerable woman out there that's experiencing what Dawn has gone through and what she is going through. We call for reform for our broken colonial legal system that fails to keep our Indigenous women and children safe, as well as our victims of and survivors of domestic violence. Saskatchewan leads in Canada in domestic violence rates. Abuse does not discriminate, and the justice system systematically fails to protect our sisters, our mothers, and our most vulnerable. We know this. The system has failed them. Dawn fled to the United States out of a mother's love to protect herself and her child. Her multiple reported incidences of abuse were filed with both the City of Saskatoon Police Services and the RCMP. Both agencies failed to see the patterns and escalation of abuse. The fact that her reports never resulted in charges highlights the failure of the system to recognize the reality of both intimate partner violence and abuse in all its forms. Her truth needs to be told, and we need to listen. We are calling on a thorough investigation into the Saskatoon City Police and the RCMP, the handling of her reports, to examine the pattern of abuse and to expose what level of abuse is required to result in charges of abuse. None of Dawn's degrees and accomplishments could protect her from the systemic failures of our colonial justice system. It reveals and exposes how the system is created to protect themselves and the rights of the offenders. Ask yourself, what chance does any woman have reporting abuse to local police and not only to not be believed? Then you are again re-victimized by a system that you were told existed to protect the most vulnerable. The FSIN Women's Commission created a declaration to honor Indigenous women and girls and is working to see that it's adopted and implemented at every level of government to ensure the commitment to challenge and change the reality of the disproportionately high violence faced by our women. The FSIN exists to advance the treaty and inherent rights of our First Nations peoples. We are committed to ensuring that the 231 calls to justice are upheld and implemented at every level of government to ensure the protection of our First Nations women and girls. And finally, we are calling on for the release of Dawn Walker on her own recognizance. Dawn is not going anywhere. She will be home with her family and close to her son. Justice has not afforded to Dawn, was not afforded to Dawn, and she is now in the fight of her life and to be reunited with her child. We stand by Dawn and all women that endure abuse in all its forms. We believe you. I believe you. Today is the day to call for sweeping changes to how our systems handle domestic abuse reports and fail to have mechanisms to protect and serve our most vulnerable. I also want to point out the high incarceration rates among our people, our women in the jails. There's so many that shouldn't be there. And that's a serious gap. And, you know, this is a widespread issue. It's not just about Dawn. It's about every First Nation, every Indigenous woman in this country. That issues are widespread when it comes to, you know, the failure, you know, of police response, when it comes to victim services, when it comes to, you know, the legal aid services, when it comes to the judges, and you know, all these issues, when it comes to incarceration rates. Why are all our women filling up the jails, Indian women filling up those jails? It's the system. So we're calling on Monday for the judge to say, you know, you can go home and try to fix things. And there are so many things to fix. But like I say, they ask the question, why are our Indian women in jail? Well, the system keeps putting them there. And we're saying, stop it. Put an end to that. What about the children there that are at home? The trauma that's happening in our communities each and every day. That's what we're talking about here. It's not just Dawn. All our women in prison. All our women in jail throughout this entire country. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of judges and police and everyone putting our women in prison and suffering our people. We need to put an end to it. This is a new day, a new dawn. It's coming. So my friends, I ask that we all work together to unite. You know, we feel the pain each and every day. We need release. So let's start working together and make those reforms, make those changes for the sake of the love of our people. With that, thank you. And I think we have Eleanor Sunchild to say a few words.
Good morning. My name is Eleanor Sunchild. Many of you know me as an Indigenous lawyer, but I'm here today as a friend of Dawn Walker. I'm not representing Dawn Walker. She has Marie Hannon representing her. I think that the media knows that Marie Hannon is a very, very capable, high-profile lawyer, and Dawn is in good hands. She needs that kind of support, and she has that kind of support all across the country. There have been so many people who have been messaging, inboxing, calling all of us at this table here, telling us their own story. It's usually of domestic violence, but it's also of how the justice system fails Indigenous people. But before I get into what I wrote, I'd like to thank Dawn for being so damn strong. That jail in the States was really unbelievable. And she should be on her way back today. It's so good that she'll be back at home in her treaty lands and not in the States. As treaty people, as status people in Canada, we can really cross the border. The U.S. recognizes the Jay Treaty. That's why, one of the reasons why Dawn is able to come back. I'd also like to thank Dawn's family for being strong and not wavering in your support and showing your tremendous love for her. And for all of the other women who stand by Dawn, for FSIN, for supporting her, for the staff who's here, for Vice Chief, the Treaty Commissioner, thank you. And thank you to everybody who sent messages of love and support for Dawn. We tell her when we talk to her what people are saying, and usually there's a lot of tears involved. It's been really hard for her, not just since she left, but for years before she suffered. And that's her story to tell, and she will. But she has to be released and have the opportunity to tell it. When I was listening to the Treaty Commissioner talk about wanting to give up, well, I felt like that. You know, when I felt like that was when Gerald Stanley was acquitted. That's when I felt attacked as an Indigenous person, as an Indigenous woman. And I think everybody remembers the exact moment when Gerald Stanley was acquitted. That is the most recent and darkest example of how this system in Saskatchewan has failed Indigenous people. And I will keep talking about that until something changes. I have before me right here the bail decision that released Gerald Stanley. Right here, I have copies for people as well. So Gerald Stanley was released on August 19th, 2018 by the Saskatchewan Court of Queen's Bench. Gerald Stanley was released on $10,000 cash bail after he was charged with murder, after he shot Colton Bushy in the back of the head and took his life. Gerald Stanley, in this decision, it's pointed out he had no criminal record. He surrendered his passport. Those are some of the factors that were taken into consideration when he was released. Dawn Walker, she has no criminal record. She's a celebrated author. She's a cherished member of the Indigenous community. She has so much support behind her. She has so many people that stand in her corner. And that's the purpose here of this press conference, is to show that support. And I share this release document because Dawn should be released at the very least on similar conditions, on straight cash bail. If the Saskatchewan Crown can release Gerald Stanley for killing somebody, they should release Dawn Walker. Dawn Walker, yes, she has charges, but she has a diagnosis of PTSD. She has a history of domestic violence. It's all been documented. And the court in Oregon took that into account. If you read what the judge said when he released Dawn back to Canada, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm so sorry that the authorities at your home didn't believe you. And I'm so sorry that you ended up in this court in Oregon. And I'm so sorry that I hope you see your son again. That was the court's words. So there you have a sympathetic court. You have a justice system there in Oregon that seemed to understand what Dawn was going through. Dawn went to the authorities here. She went to the police. She went to child protection and nobody heard her. Dawn has a similar story to so many Indigenous women in this province, in this country, of the justice system, of the people in positions of power, not believing her, not believing our people, not helping our women. Well, here is the opportunity for this province, for this crown, to take into account, to do something good for Indigenous people, to show that this justice system is not as racist as everyone says it is. And everybody across the country, around the world, knows about the Saskatchewan justice system after the acquittal of Gerald Stanley. Everybody says that about our province. Well, here's their opportunity to do something right. Release Dawn, work with her. Take into take into account those factors that I spoke about domestic violence, about her trauma. That's what the TRC talks about in their calls to action, is all of the trauma inflicted on our people by colonial system. Indian residential school being one, but we also see the effects of that in the justice system, the over-incarceration of our people, the high number of missing and murdered Indigenous women. That's all from colonization. And it's time that this province, that this justice, this system started helping our Indigenous people. So in conclusion, I got on a rant too.
That's good.
I just want to point out to the media that Dawn has so much support across our nation. She has so much support here at home. I'd like to thank everybody for listening today. Keep showing your support for Dawn. Keep signing the petitions. Keep writing letters. Keep showing up at events, because Dawn represents so many Indigenous women who don't have a way out. She represents hope for Indigenous people who've been failed by the systems, who've been failed by the justice system. That's what Dawn is. She is. She is. She's a light. She's a light in the darkness. So with that, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you.
He's at this time. Question. So I'll get him to introduce himself and her question, and then direct it to.
Hey, first of all, I'm going to do